Lourdes Health System, one of the region's leading healthcare providers, proudly presents Lourdes Health Talk. Here's Melanie Cole.
If you're someone who has joint pain, you know how debilitating it can be. It can be something that makes you not want to get up in the morning, hobble around for a few hours as you get your body warmed up. It can really limit what you want to do throughout the day and your daily activities. My guest today is Dr. Christopher Chong. He recently joined the medical staff of Our Lady of Lourdes Medical Center. He's a physician that specializes in sports medicine and the treatment of sports-related injuries. Dr. Chong, I'd like to just start with a little bit about you. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to Lourdes Medical Center.
Great. Yeah, thanks for having me on, Melanie. I trained in Philadelphia. I did my residency in family medicine, and then I did a fellowship in sports medicine, saw that Lourdes was very supportive of sports medicine, and they were really on the cutting edge of a lot of the newer treatments coming out, and was excited to come on board.
People hear the word sports medicine. They hear about orthopedics and athletic training and exercise physiology and chiropractic. Tell us, what does that field entail of sports medicine? It seems to me, Dr. Chong, so many of these fields are now coming together and we're all kind of doing similar therapies and modalities.
Yeah, no, for sure. You know, in terms of myself being a physician, you know, as a sports medicine physician, you know, I've gone through, you know, the training of medical school, residency, fellowship, and so we are definitely just one part of a bigger team when it comes to comprehensive care of a patient. You know, and that involves physical therapists, occupational therapists, and orthopedic surgeons. And so, you know, it really is a multi-pronged specialty that really kind of helps to treat patients as a whole and not just kind of isolate a patient to one particular field.
Well, then let's talk about joint pain specifically. What types of conditions do you most commonly see that cause the joints to break down?
Yeah, definitely. The most common joint that develops pain would definitely be the knees. Specifically, they typically will present as knee osteoarthritis, and that's definitely the most common joint that I see have issues.
Why? Why do knees and or hips have these issues, and how does weight affect our joints?
Yeah, so specifically for the knee, just in terms of how the anatomy of our hips and our femur is kind of aligned, our knees really see four times the amount of weight that we carry. So a patient that weighs 200 pounds, the knees actually will feel 800 pounds of that weight. And so what tends to happen is with that extra weight, the cartilage, which is really the weight kind of cushion part of the knee, those really start to wear down so that there isn't really much shock absorber left in the knee. And so then the bones actually start to get closer and closer. And that's where we kind of hear this terminology of bone on bone. And as that cartilage breaks down, it really starts to create a lot of inflammation in the knee, and it generates a lot of pain and really affects people's ability to function.
Wow, what a statistic that you just cited about the fact of 100 pounds overweight and so many extra pounds that you're putting on your knees. Tell us a little bit about things that we can do besides weight loss, which would seem obvious based on what you just said, to improve our joint health before we talk about some treatment modalities.
Sure. Yeah, you know, one thing that really helps is a regular exercise routine. A lot of times people think, oh, you know, my knees hurt, that I probably shouldn't use them, I should probably sit more. That actually leads to increased pain because the muscles around the knee start to get weak. And really exercise, kind of daily movement, keeping the knees from getting stiff can really help to take away the pain and also increase people's ability to function.
Pain's pretty subjective, Dr. Chong. How do you tell what the point of pain is, how much pain someone's really in, and what the cause is?
Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right in that it's a very individualized approach. And so what I really like to do when I'm getting a history is really assess where have they lost function because of the pain, right? So, for example, someone might be complaining of severe pain, but they can play sports, they can, you know, go upstairs, they can do everything that they want to do. And so for that person, you know, the treatment modalities that we'll dive into might be different than someone else. So I think one of the biggest important, you know, the most important things that as a clinician I try to assess is what's the functional limitations that the joint pain has caused to the patient.
Then what? I mean, there's so many modalities out there. We hear about bracing, ice versus heat, and no one ever knows quite which one to use. There's NSAIDs and ambulatory aids. How do you decide on what therapy to start with based on what you figure out is the problem?
Yeah, there is a myriad of different things out there. I really like to start, you know, less is more is really kind of how I like to operate. And so really things such as cryotherapy, ice, heat, I mean, it really is because there's so few side effects with that. I really like to have patients just kind of try both and see which one works better for them. You know, some patients, they say heat works better. Some patients say ice works better. Sometimes it's different at different times of the day. So I really encourage patients to really kind of take a close itinerary of that and then really kind of do what they, you know, whatever helps them. Also, anti-inflammatory pain medicines are something that are out there. I don't like to use them chronically because, you know, NSAIDs, they do have side effects. They can affect the blood pressure. They can affect the kidneys. They can give reflux and cause stomach ulcers. And so I don't like to just kind of give them a pain medicine and send them off. I think that's just a small part of it. And then also physical therapy is also something that's very important that I see when I treat joint pain. Because arthritic joints, the muscles around them definitely become weaker due to pain inhibition. Maintaining the strength of those muscles in and of itself can actually help decrease pain. And so if all those relatively conservative treatments are done and they're done well, and the patient continues to have pain, then we can get into different types of injections.
Talk about those injections. People hear cortisone shots and they're not sure how many they can get, or viscose supplementation and stem cell injections, PRP. There's a lot in that field as well.
Yes, yes. This is definitely a growing field, you know, in orthopedics. And so, you know, cortisone injections, the thought behind that is, you know, cortisone is a strong anti-inflammatory medicine. There is an inflammatory component when it comes to knee arthritis that causes pain. And so giving a cortisone injection into the knee is something that can help. And that's something that I definitely utilize. We do know that repeated cortisone injections very close together can actually thin the cartilage and make the arthritis even worse. And so it's not something that I like to do over and over and over again. I think cortisone is a good injection that kind of keep if patients have like an acute flare of their pain, the knee gets very swollen. And so that's not something that I like to give kind of just around the clock because there are side effects with that, you know, and also elevates the blood sugar in diabetic patients. Viscosupplementation is basically a synthetic gel. It's hyaluronic acid that kind of mimics healthy joint fluid. So it's a thick gel. It's not really a medication, and it really helps to kind of lubricate the knee. It decreases inflammation in the knee. And that is something that tends to last a little bit longer, and it has a safer safety profile because it's not actually a medication. And so that is an injection that can be used as a maintenance treatment, and just to give when patients need it. PRP, also known as platelet-rich plasma, is a type of injection, and it's really in this field known as regenerative medicine. Basically, what we do is we draw your blood, we spin it down, and there's a layer that separates that we are actually aiming for, and that layer is really rich in platelets and growth factors, healing factors, anti-inflammatory markers that all come from the patient's body. And so we withdraw that layer and then we actually inject that back into the knee. And there's definitely a lot of growing research for PRP used to treat knee arthritis as well. Then, you know, really kind of the pinnacle of regenerative medicine are what we call, quote unquote, stem cell injections. There is a lot of false advertising out there because not everything, these injections are not typically covered by insurance. And so, you know, I just really encourage patients, you know, if they hear about these different types of stem cell or placental injections, really to, you know, find a sports medicine doctor close to them and really kind of try to get more information, because there is a lot of false advertising about there, false advertising out there in terms of what constitutes a stem cell injection and so on and so forth.
Wow, that's really great and information and so comprehensive the way you've laid it all out for us. What a great educator you are, Dr. Chung. So when does surgery become that discussion? Because that's the word no one wants to hear. But just tell us at what point that is something that might be brought up with a patient.
Sure. So, you know, I always like to tell my patients that they never need a joint replacement. When we're dealing with knee arthritis, it's not a life-threatening issue. You know, knee arthritis doesn't spread, you know, to different parts of the body. So it really is a different type of conversation we're having. So really what I present to patients is they never need a knee replacement. It's something that they want. And really, you know, when does a patient want a knee replacement? It really is at the point where they are unable to function. They aren't able to do the things that they want to do. They're unable to do the things that are meaningful to them. And they have failed all the non-invasive, the non-surgical treatments that we have. So typically, you know, we'll bring up that conversation. If a patient, you know, has failed every injection that I've offered them, they failed physical therapy, they failed, you know, the myriad of non-operative treatments, and it's affecting them to the point where they're no longer able to do the things they want to do, and it's affecting their ability to live, then I think that's an appropriate time to bring up the conversation. And the reason I say this is because there are plenty of patients who have end-stage knee arthritis. It's bone on bone, and they actually have no pain. You know, that arthritis is actually sometimes just incidentally discovered when they're getting imaging for something else. So just because your x-rays might show arthritis, I really like to treat patients and not x-rays. And so really it comes down to a conversation of what's their ability to function, you know, are they able to do the things they want to do, and is there anything else left in my toolbox that I can offer them non-surgically?
Oh, I love how you said you like to treat patients, not x-rays. I haven't heard that before. That is wonderful. So Dr. Chung, as we wrap up, give your best advice for activities and being active, keeping good, healthy joints, and what you really want the listeners to know and take away from this segment.
I would say the main take-home points, the first one is obviously, you know, just living a healthy lifestyle. So specifically, you know, in terms of nutrition, making sure you're eating a well-balanced diet, that a well-balanced diet can decrease just general inflammation in the body. And more importantly, it also helps maintain a healthy weight. You know, we don't want to be too thin. We don't want to be too light because there are issues with that. But, you know, being overweight and carrying a certain amount of weight definitely can increase the risk of developing joint pain and knee arthritis. So, you know, from a just general lifestyle, obviously eating well, maintaining a healthy weight, and also not to be swayed or confused that increased activity will accelerate my arthritis. There's been no research that supports that. And in fact, all the research points to increased level of activity actually increasing patients' function and decreasing their pain. So really just finding ways to stay active. And that's really going to look different for different people. Maybe for some patients, walking on a treadmill, doing weight loading, gravity type of exercises might cause them pain. And so for those patients, I would encourage them to, you know, get into a swimming pool, you know, do some swimming, do some water aerobics where it's, you know, that gravity component is really decreased. And even something like that can help decrease pain. And for those who don't have problem doing land-based activity, you know, just walking regularly, daily, you know, doing some sort of physical activity that can mobilize the joint. All those things are very helpful. And so, you know, a lot of the things to take care of and prevent joint pain can actually be done before even seeing a physician. But ultimately, you know, if any of those things are not sufficient enough, then definitely seeing a sports medicine physician or an orthopedic doctor is something that's helpful. I do want to clear up a misnomer. I think there is some misunderstanding when it comes to the term sports medicine physician. A lot of patients maybe who aren't athletes but have joint pain will think, oh, you know, sports medicine physician, it's not for me because I'm not an athlete. So that's actually not true. You know, as a sports medicine doctor, a lot of my patients they're non-athletes. They don't they don't play any sports, and they just have kind of arthritis and just joint pain, and we treat those well, and we specialize in the non-surgical treatments of those conditions. So, you know, any of the of those different specialties that I mentioned would be appropriate to kind of give you further care.
I'm so glad you cleared that up. People do wonder if sports medicine only means that athletes, you know, would be the ones to benefit from that type of treatment. Thank you again for joining us. What great information, important for us to hear about great ways to take care of our joints, our knees, our hips. This is Lourdes Health Talk. For more information, please visit lourdesnet.org. That's lourdesnet.org. I'm Melanie Cole. Thanks for tuning in.